Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. Every year, I invite Dave Rothacker onto our podcast to give us the top three business books he read the previous year. Dave is the most prolific reader I know, and his insight and perspective into our industry makes this a particularly useful podcast episode. Let me tell you just a bit about Dave. He is an author, coach, and consultant. He works with the GoTime Success Group and runs a very well-respected masterclass there. He's an advisory board mentor for ServiceNation Alliance. He writes a weekly Saturday rabbit hole for the Service Roundtable members, and this is a big one. Dave was honored with our industry's Servant Leader Award. This is only given to those that have a lifetime of outstanding service to others. So it is a huge accomplishment. So Dave Rothacker, welcome back to Profiles in Prosperity.
Yeah, thank you, David. I look forward to this time every January because I know that I got to stay on top of my books and share my most favorites. So.
Well, I wanted to point out to you that this is actually kind of a special episode, not just because you're on it and I enjoy this as well, but this is the 10th time you've been on this podcast doing this. Did you know that?
I actually thought it was the 9th, but I had an idea, so I was close. Yeah. It's awesome, man.
Yeah. We've done this every year since we started the podcast. I think one year we might have done it twice. I'm not sure. I should go back and look at that. But it's one of those episodes that people really look forward to. So many people have told me that they really like the book reviews, and I personally like them. I learn a lot from them. So it's good for me. It's good for them. And I appreciate you doing it. And thank you for 10 episodes of this.
Well, thank you for having me on because I want to do this 10 more times too. So yeah, keep it going.
Okay, so top three business books for 2024.
Okay, so I'll tell you them and then I'll go into them. The first one I'm going to talk about is Hidden Potential by Adam Grant. The second one is 12 Notes by Quincy Jones. And the third one is The Lion Tracker's Guide to Life by Boyd Vardy. And then in the end, I have a little tidbit that I want to pass on from another author who's written 40 or 50 books. And I think it could be really useful for business owners and managers. So,
okay. So let me ask you a question. Is the number one book on this list the top book of the year for you?
It could be any of the three that I'm talking about. I don't really necessarily have a top book this year, more along the lines of these three books kind of really fit that category. Whereas in the past, I used to talk about Grit by Angela Duckworth, and that blew me away. And that was like my top book bar none. But this year is a little different because I just really resonated with all three of these. So
unlike previous years, I'm proud to say that I have read two out of the three of your top three books.
Excellent. Well, I'll get
Tell
into
us about
it with
Hidden Potential.
Yeah, Hidden Potential, written by Adam Grant. Adam Grant is a psychologist and a professor. Every book that Adam Grant has ever written has been of value to me, and Hidden Potential is just like the rest. So there's a lot of times I recommend a book, but there are also a lot of times I recommend an author. So Adam Grant is one of those people that I just say, buy all his books, not necessarily one over the other. All of his books are really, really good. But getting into Hidden Potential, it's about unlocking the hidden potential inside of us to become a better version of who we are. Now, Adam, being a researcher, scientist, psychologist, he uses a lot of research, case studies, and he weaves storytelling into them, which really makes it interesting. It's a drag when you read things written by a researcher that does not have the ability to relate to people like us who are not in the academic world. And not only does he have the ability, it's a gift. He has the gift to do that, to keep his people engaged, his audience engaged. So as far as about Hidden Potential, the main takeaway that I would like business owners and contractors to hone in on is the fact that this is a precious tool for leaders and managers. If you just looked at the book Hidden Potential, if you just read the book cover, you would think, well, I have hidden potential. I'm just going to read what Adam has to say, and I'm going to try to unlock my own hidden potential. But there's another way to approach this as a leader. Leaders and managers need to be able to recognize the hidden potential in others. And once you do that, then a belief will start to form. You'll start to form a belief in that person. And there's nothing more powerful for a leader or a manager in their arsenal than to have belief in the people they're working with. So if you were to pick up the book, Hidden Potential, the thing that I recommend the most is to view it through the eyes of a leader slash manager. And developed into a couple of different sections, building character skills. He starts off with that. That is a huge, huge component of unleashing our potential, because when we get the right character skills in place, it kind of WD-40s the rest of it out, so to speak.
And then, yeah, I thought that was really interesting as well, how soft skills, and he talked about why they're called soft skills and what a detriment that is that they're called soft skills. I thought that was really interesting. But it's funny that in so many instances, soft skills trump hard skills, and those character skills end up being more important. It was great.
Absolutely. And, you know, for people who were born, I would say now in the 1940s and early 1950s, they kind of wince at the soft skill approach to things. And us in those age ranges are becoming dinosaurs. That's not the way the world is working anymore. And so no matter what you call them, you really have to adapt and adopt them to be effective in the workplace. There's just so much to this book. This is the kind of book that you almost need to read a couple of times, which I know might make people wince a little bit, but there is a lot of information in the book. And so I recommend trying to really pinpoint a couple of items that resonate with you and then try those out. Try putting those in play. One of the things that he talks about, and I can't remember if it was in the character chapter or not, but he talks about having a high standard, establishing a personal high standard, and then working to live up to that. That's, for me, is just something that really resonated quite a bit with me. I have a couple of coaches out there who are my all-time favorite sport coaches. One of them is John Wooden. Of course, he passed away a long time ago, but he was a coach UCLA basketball. The other was Pat Summitt. She coached Tennessee basketball. And both of those coaches, they coached their team to standards. They didn't compete against the competition. They competed against themselves. I really do like the idea of having a standard to work towards. And that, you know, so that's something that comes out in the book. And another thing that resonated with me quite a bit is that he recommends to love the process of what you're doing, whether it's work, whether it's improving your life, learning, education, whatever it might be, love the process that you're doing. Some professional athletes, and I know I'm using the word wince a little too much here, but it's appropriate. I say the name Tom Brady, and I know like millions are going to wince, but Tom Brady, he's the kind of person, he called it, I love the grind. And by that, he meant, I love the process of what you go through to be able to compete on the field. And that's another kind of a telltale sign. If you don't love the process of what you do to get better, the process of what it takes to be a good leader or manager, then I don't know, you may want to think about something else to do. You got to really love the grind, so to speak. Man, I could go on and on. Like I said, this is the kind of book that there is a lot of information. If you get the book, I guess one of the things that I would recommend doing would be go to the end of it and read the recap first so that you can kind of prime your mind for the material that you're going to cover, because there's a lot. And if you could understand going in what Adam is deeming important, then it'll give you an advantage. So that's the book, Hidden Potential.
So there was a section in there that I wish all of our politicians and school administrators would read, and it was about the Finnish school system. I read another book about the Finnish school system years ago as well, and it's really interesting and instructive, the difference between their system and our system, and why Finnish students unexpectedly test better than any other students in the world year after year after year. So a really interesting section.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he says that the Finnish people have a mindset of opportunity for all, whereas the U.S. school culture is winner take all.
Yeah.
And I didn't really get into the whole education side of things, because that's just one of those factors in the book that just adds to, you know, the depth of it. But if you have children in school, it'll hit home as well, some of the points he makes.
Yeah. All right. What's next?
Up next, 12 Notes by Quincy Jones. So this is a book that you recommended to me.
Great book.
The reason that it resonated with me, the reason that I hit buy on Amazon was, number one, your recommendation. Number two, the subtitle of the book, 12 Notes on Life and Creativity. I found over the last 20, 30 years that creativity to me has been one of my major areas of study, especially when I get it recommended to me. That really lights me up. And so that was, you know, kind of the reason I dug into it. So very interesting format. Quincy Jones was a lot of things. I can't even say what he was because he was so much: a musician, a producer, conductor, a composer, a label executive. It just goes on and on and on. And so he organizes his life wisdom under the banner of 12 notes to kind of coincide, I think, with his love of music. And so each of the notes is a different life lesson that he's learned. My number one thing that drew me to this, though, once I got into it, was, number one, I don't really care for the kind of music that he produces. It's just not my thing. But what I do admire about him tremendously is the fact of his professional and somewhat academic, science-based approach to his craft. This guy was not somebody that just picked up music, learning it by ear, or somebody that was just out on the street picking up rap and trying things out. He pursued things on an educational level more than maybe 99% of the people I study, or 90% of the people I study. I was blown away by that fact. Was that something that maybe resonated with you by any chance?
Absolutely. He said that there's a science to everything and that you have to dig into the science of it. And I think that for people in the creative world, I think that a number of times people think, well, I just have to focus on the creativity of this. I have to be creative. I have to build new things. And he says, well, yeah, but you have to dig into the science of it. You have to understand how the instruments work. You have to understand how orchestras operate. He talked about going to France. So he had been in France for, I can't remember why the reason he was in France, but he realized that he had this opportunity to work with this woman that was there, an instructor that was really well known. He had to try out to work with her, but this was a huge opportunity for him. And so, you know, this is a guy that just kept digging in and learning more and doing the science behind whatever he was working on. It was really impressive.
Yeah, I think he went to France because the French accepted him as a person. And in America, as a black man, you know, he was under the eight ball, really. And the French looked at him as a musician, not black, white, yellow, red, you know. So what an opportunity that gave him as well. He flourished in that accepting positive culture in France. I think that did a tremendous boost to his career. And then he continued to have that liaison with the French people. But it's interesting. I have done deep dives into a lot of different industries. I did a deep dive into the world of education, journalism. But one of the areas that I did a deep dive in was the world of graphic design. And by that, I mean the business world and the creative world. And I had interviewed an author of a book one time, and he was like an executive in the graphic design area. And he was bemoaning the fact that people in his company, and he worked for a very, very, very large Fortune 500 company, people in his company, in his division, in his departments, were not up on the trade magazines of graphic design, nor did they understand the roots and the history of graphic design. And that's one thing that Quincy says, rappers today using the N-word. And in his opinion, it's a little careless, because if they really understood where that all originated from, they'd look at it in a different light. That really impacted me quite a bit.
It was a fascinating book. I really didn't understand the scope of his career until I read this book. And then, as you get the scope of his career, he started playing with the big bands. As a teenager, he was traveling with a big band. He's worked with country music. He's worked with rock and roll. He's done a lot of jazz. He's produced television shows. He produced documentaries. He created albums. He was the producer on the Michael Jackson Thriller album, yeah, the best album that's ever sold. I mean, it's just the scope of what he did, but also all the different people that he worked with over over time is just totally fascinating. And then he's distilled it all into these 12 notes, advice for the rest of us, just awesome stuff.
After reading the book and understanding that he was really focused on the relentless pursuit of excellence, I just like, I got to get one of his biographies. I got to look into this guy more. I'm just so fascinated. I'll just leave it off with the one note that really resonated with me right off the bat. It would have been note A, recycle your pain to purpose.
Oh, screw.
So if you've experienced pain in your life, allow it to direct you and push you forward to achieve something that could make the world a better place. And I resonated with that because I experienced that. He put like a name to something that I've been doing all my life, well, not all my life, but the last 40 years. And I thought, wow, I never thought about it like that. So that one really hit me pretty hard. But anybody listening to this podcast would thoroughly enjoy this book, I'm convinced. This isn't just for a leader, manager, you know, this book is for everyone. A great recommend, Dave. Thank you.
I hope everybody listening to this reads it. It's just a good book for anybody.
So the last book that I have today is called The Lion Tracker's Guide to Life. I'm thinking this is the book you did not read, right?
That's correct. But okay. I've looked at it, and I think I will be reading it.
Okay. So here's how this book came into my life. We have a gentleman working at GoTime who was an ex-executive in the De Beers mining operation in South Africa. Like maybe number two in the IT of De Beers. He was way up in that world. And he recommended this book because the author, Boyd Vardy, is from South Africa. So this is a book that was passed around at the De Beers mining company, and that's where he learned of it. So it's about a gentleman. He grew up on a safari operation on a reserve in South Africa. So his dad and his uncle took over the land. It was originally bought by his grandfather way back, and his dad and uncle took it over, developed it, and now they offer safari guides and things like that. That's kind of where he was from. He grew up learning how to track animals. And the reason they tracked animals was for hunting. But by the time he got into the business, they were tracking animals so that they could relay the coordinates from where they might find a pride of lions to the actual guides that took customers out into the field to go and look at, you know, to go and view them. So he did that for years and years and years. And then one of his customers happened to be a woman by the name of Dr. Martha Beck. You ever hear of her, David, by any chance?
No.
Martha Beck. This is so mind-blowing to me that I couldn't believe it. Here, I get recommended a book by a dude who lived in South Africa. And in the book, the author talks about Martha Beck. Well, I've read all of her books. She's a scientist, doctor, sociologist, and a life coach. A life coach at maybe the highest possible level of life coaches out there. And like I said, I've read all of her books. She has a very humanistic approach to everything. She grew up in a very, very troubled and traumatic life, and she learned how to evolve from that type of thing. Well, anyhow, she becomes a customer on the reserve. He meets her, and then she invites him to America, and he spends 10 years in America sort of as her mentee. You know, she kind of took him under her wings. And when I saw that, it was like, you know, it just kind of opened my eyes even more because I have such tremendous respect for her. And so any of the books that she's written are really good, by the way. So anyhow, he comes back to America and he goes through 10 years of helping her out and doing his own thing in America. He's learning how to be a life coach and that sort of thing. So he comes to the point where he's going back to South Africa. Now, at 40 some years old at this point in his life, he's learned and experienced a tremendous amount of things. He's done this, he's done that, but he doesn't necessarily understand his purpose and he doesn't have a calling. And he goes back to South Africa and he has the intention of trying to pull it all together. So the way the book is laid out is that's where it picks up right off the bat. It picks up on him going back to South Africa and working with two other guides who are salt of the earth South Africans. One guy grew up in a South African tribe. The other guy grew up more a more conventional, maybe upper middle class lifestyle, but they were both expert trackers. And so Boyd relates the journey of tracking a pride of lion to tracking down your life's calling. And that's the way he works through the book in that light. And it's not necessarily a prescription of how to track your life's call, but it's more of an awareness to where you've been, to where you are, to the possibility of where you're going. Kind of like a 64,000 foot view of the book. And I've done a lot of study on the subject of purpose and why, and a little bit on life's call. I don't necessarily think I found my life calling until maybe the last 5 years. It would have been nice to find it maybe before I retired, but it is what it is. But that's why I write about this sort of thing. And that another reason why I'm bringing this up on the call, because if you have an awareness as a 20 or 30 year old of what goes into your life, so by the time you're in your 60s, you can look back and you will put things together. If you start at that age, you will also get to a point where you understand your life's call a lot sooner than like I did in my life. And, listening to the advice he gives, the story he tells, and it's all storytelling. It's not a science-based book or anything like that. So you'll get a better feel for the whole process. But that's the book, The Lion Tracker's Guide to Life. What I would recommend, I read a lot of books. Of course, you know that. And so,
yes.
Yeah. So there's a lot of times, man, when I'll say to a group of people, I'm going to recommend a book, and the eyes start rolling. Oh, Dave, I can't take another book. I already have a bookshelf because of you. And now I need another one. And I haven't even read half the books on the bookshelf. I get this all the time, so I'm really sensitive to people's reaction to my recommendations and stuff like that, but I can't let that stop me. But I do try to show empathy and workarounds, to kind of ease them in. So here's the deal. You probably by now have seen Simon Sinek's TED Talk on Why. Have you seen that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So that 18-minute TED Talk really introduced the whole concept of it. And if you would watch Simon Sinek's TED Talk, which is like the number 2, 3, or 4 top rated TED Talk of all time, and you were the slightest bit interested, you're buying his book, Start With Why. Well, that's like Boyd Vardy. Boyd Vardy has a book, has a TED Talk out there, and listeners, just Google Boyd Vardy TED Talk. And he gives that traditional 18-minute TED Talk, and countless people that I have spoken with about this book, because I always ask, how in the world did you learn about a guy from South Africa writing a book? And almost every single person that I'd asked this, other than obviously the gentleman from our own company, has said, I heard his TED Talk or I saw his TED Talk. So listen to the TED Talk. If that intrigues you, then go ahead and buy the book.
It sounds like a fun read. Lion tracking has got to be interesting stuff, good stories, and then life lessons as well, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. He weaves the dangers of that. I mean, he had a black mamba, which is one of the most dangerous snakes in the world, crawling on him at some point. He had his leg almost bitten off by a crocodile. He confronted a lion. I mean, there's a little bit of drama and tension in his stories as well. So it's good. It's good.
So now you've got a little lagniappe for us. Is that right?
Yeah. So this is the really, really practical takeaway for people listening. And this would be two exercises that were created by Julia Cameron. Julia Cameron wrote the book, The Artist Way, published in the late 90s. When people think of the word creativity, she's kind of like the godmother of creativity out there. I think the best way to paint her picture. She's an author. She's written 40 or 50 books. She has composed plays, composed music. And she's just done a lot of different things. But her book, The Artist's Way, is one of the best-selling books ever. And it was designed to help people with creativity. She has two exercises that could pertain to everybody. And it doesn't matter if you're an artist or not. So the first one is something she calls morning pages. She recommends 3 pages of freehand writing. So you just write whatever comes to mind. You don't have to worry about punctuation, spelling. You don't have to worry about it making sense to another human being, because another human being should never look at it. This is something private and for one's individual self. And it's a way to mine your subconscious for ideas. And it's really an amazing thing. I've been doing this for a very long time. I've also created kind of my own derivative of it that works for me. I do personally do a page and a half. So I would say anywhere between a page and a half and three pages, but it's just something that you really should try to do every day. It will, let's say a contractor is having an issue in their company about something, whatever it might be. If you were to spend maybe a week or 2 weeks freehand writing out in the morning, ideas will come to you that there's no way that you could sit down and think these ideas up. It doesn't work. It doesn't happen like that. You won't be able to do it. But if you start writing and these ideas come out of your head, then ideas build on other ideas and they keep building. And then you start getting to an area where solutions start appearing. And you just have to stay at it. So it's a way to not only develop creativity, but it's also a way to solve problems. That's one method of hers. And of the 40 or 50 books that she's written, she keeps refining these and keeps building on these. So these are things she wrote about back in the 1990s, and she's still writing about them today. The other exercise is called an artist date. The artist date is once a week, plan to go anywhere for about a half an hour to an hour and just be observant in the world. Observe the world around you. You could go to a mall. You could go to the beach. You could, you could go to a museum. The idea is to observe the world around you. And the more you do that, the more ideas will formulate in your mind and help you with other areas of your life. So it's just getting out into the world with no agenda, no intent other than to be aware and take in the world around you. So those are two little exercises that it doesn't matter if you're an artist or if you are a business person. Either way, it's going to help you tremendously in the world.
That's very interesting stuff. I like it. I've never heard of Julia Cameron before, so good stuff. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and if anyone's interested, the book that put her on the map is called The Artist Way, and I recommend it because of the value that I've gotten from it for years and years.
These books are terrific. I haven't read The Lion Tracker. I'm definitely going to go back and get that. But three books to summarize: Hidden Potential by Adam Grant, 12 Notes, Quincy Jones, Lion Tracker by Boyd Vardy. All right. Dave, yeah. Thank you so much for doing this. This was terrific.
And, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for 10 episodes.
Oh, man. Can't wait to get to 11, David. Thank you so much.
Right. Sounds great.
Hi, this is David again. Three quick notes. One, if we provided any value today, would you please give us a good rating on whatever app you're listening on? It would help us a lot and help get our message to more people. Two, would you recommend us to a friend or colleague? Just as in your own business, personal recommendations are powerful. Three, we're always looking for great interviewees and topics. If you have an idea for us, if you know someone who should be interviewed, or if you would like to be interviewed, don't be modest. Just shoot an email to pip@newmediaempire.com. That's PIP, like Profiles in Prosperity, @newmediaempire.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.